to life and back. Pardon?
How long?
How long? How long you want?
I've already heard one long one today.
Oh, have you? Okay, I'll make it short. Bill only gave me 30-40 minutes.
Okay.
Can I make it shorter? You want me to make it shorter? Okay, I'll make it shorter. Anyway, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do about anything.
Yeah,
you may just have to
ignore
her like I do.
Watch it. She put them bags out on the porch. But anyway, you know, sometimes people get carried away and they get all wrapped up in the things going on around them. And I think too many cases we lose perspective of life. You know, we think about life, the sun comes up and it goes down. You know, I've thought about that. And, you know, whether I'm here or not, the sun's going to come up and it's going to go down. Whether you're here or not, it's going to come up and it's going to go down. And that leads into days passing, weeks passing, months passing, years passing, and life quickly goes on, and it just goes on. And so to me, I have to step back in life and in my life, and I have to ask the important question. What is really important in this life? What is really, when life comes down to life, what is really important in this life? And like I began, you know, sometimes we get caught up on this little thing over here, on this little thing over here, and when the end is done, and when if I can use the terminology, when the dust settles, was it really that important? And sometimes we make things out to be important that really aren't important. What is important? You know, you ask that question, I ask that question. For me, what is important in my life? What will carry me? What will carry those that I come in contact with? My family, my physical family, or my spiritual family as well, through the difficulties of life. Now, I think that's the important question. What's real important? What will give me pleasure in life? What will make my life worthwhile? And those I come in contact through the good times and through the difficult times. And again, we ask the question, at least I have, when I die at death, what can I leave behind that will inspire? You know, is our life in vain? That's the important question. Is our life in vain? The life that I live, am I living it in vain? So when I die, am I going to leave something that would inspire, that would edify? And isn't that the reason we're called? To inspire, to edify, to uplift, to encourage others to keep the faith in when we're gone. That's what's important in our lives. That's what I feel is important. God, and what we're going to talk about today is three aspects of love. And we're just going to briefly go over them. And to me, that's what's really important in life. All these other things, when the dust settles, won't mean a whole lot. Won't mean a whole lot. God's love toward us. Number one. He is revealing His love in us, that He created us to be in His very family. In the book of Genesis, we are created in the image and likeness of God. So you're going to say, to understand, we ask questions. Why were we created in the image and likeness of God? So that we might be born into the very family of God. That's His plan. He created us. He has given us wisdom and knowledge of this book. He has poured out His Spirit to us, that we might understand. That's our purpose. So it's in His supreme love that He offers every human being on the face of this earth the opportunity eventually to be born into His very family. That's how God is. And He wants all mankind to understand that. I want to go to and read just a few scriptures here. In 1 John, it seems as though this was on John's mind a great deal, because he talks about it throughout the scriptures. In 1 John 3, let's begin and verse 1 and verse 2 of 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, so we sing the love of God that He bestows upon His creation, that we should be called the sons or children or heirs. And we got to go back and what is God talking about? How are we to understand what He's talking about here unless we go back and understand the physical in our lives? Because as parents, we want to leave something to our children. Sons of God, so we are to inherit. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. That is, this society, the world doesn't know us, doesn't understand. Verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know then what we shall appear. We shall be like Him, because we're told in the book of Genesis, throughout the scriptures, that we were created that way. For we shall see Him as He is. So God has revealed to us and given us wonderful things here in verse 11. For this is the message that you heard from the very beginning of time, that we should love one another. So we're seeing from the very beginning of Genesis why we were created to be in the very family of God, and that's the love of God that He wants us to be there. Let's jump over to chapter 4 of 1 John and read verse 8 through 10 of chapter 4. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Wherein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So God has given us insight here that He wants us in His very family. In verse 16, that we have known and believed the love of God that has to us, God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Verse 18 and verse 19. And we take all this in context, and why we were created, and the love of God for us, there is no fear in love. So we find ourselves in a society, things happening around us, within, without the church of God, and there's fear. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has no torment. Now, as we go into some of the happenings within, and let me just use the terminology, I think we have today a physical church, excuse me, and a spiritual church. I think there's a lot of fear and torment in the physical church of God today. He that fears is not made perfect in love. So fear, we get involved in things going on around us, and fear causes us to fall short of what God called us to do, and we lose focus on what God called us to do and be a part of. In John, the book of John, in John 16, tells us a little more about this love of God. In John 16, in verse 27, and I was reading this, I found it quite interesting. Beginning in verse 27, For the Father Himself loves you. For the Father Himself loves you because. Now, why is there a because in there? Does that involve action on our part? Something that we have to do? It says, because you have loved me. Speaking of Jesus Christ. So does that mean that because? That's a big word there. The word I'm looking for and I can't find, unconditional. Does that mean that God at this point in time has unconditional love, or does he have conditional love? Conditional love. So there's something that we have to do in our lives as God loves us, because we have love loved me, Jesus Christ, and believe that I came from God. So we have to have love and the faith that this is what God's doing, that God's real. That we don't allow these outside things to get us off track. What's important in your life? Again, back to the question. What's the real important things in your life? God loved us because. Could we say that's cause and effect? Because. And the effect is that he loves us because we're doing certain things. We want to please him as children. And he wants us to inherit, but we need to do certain things in our life. Let's go back to chapter 14. Chapter 14 of verse 21 states, he that has my commandments, so we're going to have to ask the question, how do we have God's commandments? Well, I guess there's something there, that there is a calling and God gives us his truth. He that has my commandments and keeps them, why, may I ask you, why do we keep the commandments? Why can't we go on just like everyone else professing Christian society that don't keep the commandments? Why are we required to keep the commandments? Because we love God. Is it out of... Yes, dear.
Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep the commandments.
If we love him, we'll do it. It's out of respect, out of honor. Why, your children, you know, do you require... As a parent and a loving parent, and you give to them and you show them what's right and wrong, do you require them to respect you and to honor you? Yes, I think so. We don't say it, but we do. We expect them to give honor to us when they have problems. We expect them to, well, I respect your judgment, Dad or Mom. What do you think about this? That's what we do to God. And that's his love toward us. He that has my commandments and keep them, he loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. So again, because. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That is, you know, he's going to reveal himself to us and what's required of us to understand and to recognize, to be recognized. So we keep them. And it's because of respect and honor and love toward Jesus Christ, and God the Father loves us. Now, we talked about our God's love toward us. What about our love toward God? Why do we love God?
God puts that love in us.
God puts that love in us. Why does a child love a parent? Does a child come out of the womb and say, excuse me, I love you, Mom and Dad? Are there reasons there? Is it because...
The parent first loves the child.
The parent first loved the child. God created that. God first loved us. Our love for God is a result of God's, the Father's, calling through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we love and we come to understand the law. And we love Jesus Christ. Therefore, God loves us. The true capacity to love can only come through and by the empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. To love Jesus Christ, and then God the Father loves us. our devotion in which Bill talked about the Passover coming up and preparing for the Passover and what it's all about. And they're loving us, and we're showing them that we appreciate, we respect, we honor, we glorify them, because we are willing to live by every word of God and to keep the commandments. Let's go back to 1 John. In 1 John, we'll go to chapter 4 this time. In chapter 4 of 1 John, and read verse 16 and not through 19, beginning in verse 16. For we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. God is love. And he that dwells in love abides in God, and God in him. Verse 17, wherein is love within us, love made perfect. So of all this, what we're, and we understand, Christ is perfect, we want to be like him, we want to pattern our lives after him. So there's a perfection that we come to, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. So this is an attribute that comes from love being made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Not fear. Now, we can think about that just for a moment when it comes for our time to stand before Jesus Christ. Are we going to be fully confident that we've done things correctly? Or are we going to be, I'm in trouble? Get my drift?
That's where grace comes in.
Yes, absolutely. That's where the grace comes in and comes through us, and we understand grace, and we pass that on to others, don't we? And that's love. You know. I made a statement you probably heard it a million times. Don't judge the Indian until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. There's a lot to that statement. Because I don't know what you have to go through in your life. I don't know what you go through in your life. Continuing in chapter 4, herein is love made perfect, chapter 17, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That is, we understand, we do everything that in our power, and we rely on the grace of God. We rely, actually, on the grace of God. We rely on the blood, the atoning blood, the covering blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. Because as he is, so are we in this world. We begin to think like and act like. No, we begin to understand. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, which has torment. A lot said there. Fear of many things. And it causes torment. Unhappy lives. Not able to get along. Not able to work together. He that fears is not made perfect in love. In chapter 5. Let's read verse 2 and verse 3. And we read that earlier. Chapter 5, verse 2 and verse 3. For this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Again, right on the heels of everything we've been reading, it's talking about keeping the law of God, keeping the commandments. And we understand that the commandments are good for us. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And I have heard people say his commandments are grievous. Chapter 2 and verse 5 of 1 John. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And certainly it's a quality and ingredient that we want to perfect. Whereby know we that we are in Him. And He says, He abides in Him, ought Himself also to walk even as He walked. So it is a way of life. The thing that we're talking about here is a way of life. That what's important. You know, we realize God's love toward us, what He wants for us, and the future He's planned for us, just as we as parents plan for our children. And yet, on the heels of that, we have to have love toward God and all the many blessings that come from that. Verse 15 of chapter 2 says, love not the world, the things that can get us off track. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So again, there are many things that can get us off track and, you know, get us not thinking the way we should be thinking. Cause us a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of discomfort. The third type of love, which we'll talk about very briefly, and I think you get the gist of what we're doing here, and the importance of life. What's really, really important is after God has loved us and we have love toward God, is love toward our brothers and sisters. Now, this seems to be a very difficult thing from the very beginning of time. From Cain and Abel, the problems that they were experiencing, going through, the jealousy down through time of people wanting to be the boss, wanting control, power and money going together hand in hand. And even it reigns in our time today, time of Jesus Christ, certainly in our time as well. And we are to have love toward our brethren. And that's probably one of the most difficult things that we can have vision of. Certainly, we are to have vision of that and be able to do it. So we are to have a special love one toward the other. We're called individually. We are to personally love one another. Even though we are scattered from here to there, and that's scriptural. Some acknowledge that, some do not. We share a special fellowship with God, with Jesus Christ. This fellowship is so special that it is actually the foundation of the new commandment that Christ gave His disciples, that you are to love one another as I have loved you. So what does that tell us? It's a Christian love that we are to have. And it is a sign, according to Scripture, which all people can recognize the followers of Jesus Christ. Now, the point is, as we look and think about this, does the world recognize us as brothers and sisters with the love that we have one for another? Or does it look at us as a dysfunctional church?
They never even see us. They don't come here. Mm-hmm. They never see us, that we show love for each other. And when they do come here, they don't see the love that they should see.
Yeah. Well, out in the world, you know, when you deal with people, and many of you have been, and work with people, and it's called dysfunctional families, where they don't get along. You know, problems. And in many cases, I think that as people look at us, you know, as we associate with other individuals, certainly within the realm of the Church of God, let me just use the term physical Church of God, that in many times we're view one another as a dysfunctional family, because we can't get along, because of various reasons that point to that. In John 13, the love that we are to have, people will recognize that we are of the spiritual church of God. And John 13, let's begin in verse 34 and verse 35. A new commandment, really not a new commandment, I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So you have to go back and say, you know, the very beginning, you know, God loved us, we love God, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know. Now this is not a little thing. So what it's talking about here is a special friendship and a special bonding, a special, let me use the term, bondage between these people. And it says, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So it seems as though love, this love that we've been talking about, which I think is what's really important in life, is the hallmark of a true Christian. Can love grow in a hostile environment? Can love grow in a environment of deception, rumors, accusers? It'd be kind of difficult, wouldn't it? So there is something here that God wants us to understand as His people, what's really important in life. And we have to all answer that question. Go back to 2 John and we'll use that as our last scripture. In 2 John, let's begin in verse 1 and read through verse 6. The elder unto the elect lady. Now, who's that talking about? The elect lady. The church. Unto the church and her children, whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. So what does the truth do for a Christian? Does it set us free? Certainly does. And verse 2, for the truth's sake which dwells in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be unto you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of the Father in truth and in love. I rejoice greatly that I found of the children walking in truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father, so what's important? And now I beseech you, church of God, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we had from the very beginning. And why have we so gone astray from the new truth that was given in the very beginning? That we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after God's commandments. And we've talked about why they're so important. This is a commandment that you have heard from the very beginning, that you should walk in it. Something we should do. something that, that God requires of us as His children. So I'll leave you with the question. What's really important in life? What's really important? It's God's love toward us, and we understand that love. It's our love toward God and our love toward one another. And when the dust settles, when it's all finished and said, that's what's really important in a Christian's life.